Brother Arian comes sometimes to the door knocking. He comes regularly to the door knocking. Don't misunderstand me, but he wears a t-shirt sometimes, I should say, to door knocking, which is very, I think, very effective in its message. And it basically says, the church has left the building. Perhaps many of you have seen this t-shirt that he wears. It brings a point up that I want us to think about. I realize Wednesday night is the faithful 50, if you please, the faithful few. They're not the ones that are like on Sunday morning, may not come again. We may not see them again all week. But we need to think a little bit about what that means in the message. Because the problem I see and I hear is I've heard over and over and over in this congregation over the last several years. I've been a member of this congregation, I guess, close to 20 years. Well, it's not close to, it is 20 years now. And I hear members of the congregation refer to the building over and over and over again, the building as the church. Do we not understand Bible authority? What the Bible? Show me one place in the Bible, in the New Testament, that refers to the building as a church. Because this is what I'm talking about in Bible authority. Are we submitting to God's authority? Or are we keeping our own authority? Are we learning Bible from the Bible, or are we learning it from our friends, neighbors, the denominations? I fear and I see practices in the church that tell me that more congregations are learning from the denominations than they are learning from the Bible. In other words, we should not do anything in this congregation or any church of Christ, anybody that's trying to follow God, we should not be doing anything that we can't justify by the Bible. In other words, the Bible should teach us what we should be doing, and we should be doing that. Our language, speak where the Bible, one of the things the churches of Christ have taken as a phrase upon themselves is speak where the Bible speaks. Say Bible things and Bible ways. In other words, we need to be following the Bible. What does Christ say in John chapter 14, verse 15? What he says is real simple. It's a very short verse. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What does that mean? Well, it's very simple. If we love God, we'll obey him. We'll do what he's instructed us to do, and we'll do nothing else. Because to do anything else is to say we don't love God anymore. In fact, if we're going to add to this thing, it says we love our knowledge, wisdom, or somebody else's knowledge, wisdom more than God. We need to think about very carefully about the implications of what we do. What we say, where we go, how we practice it. Turn over into Isaiah 40, chapter 43. Let's look over what the writer has to say there. I have it written down here in King James Version, but I'll read it in King James and the New American Standard so we can, if there's any difference, we can look at those. I'd like us to look in verse 21. And notice what God said here in verse 21 of chapter 43 of Isaiah. It says, the people whom I form for myself will declare my praise. Or if I can read the King James, this people have I formed for myself. God is saying that Israel, he had formed for himself. We being the New Testament church should take this scripture very seriously. We're formed. Mankind is formed, the church is formed, and in the case of this reference, the nation of Israel is formed. Why? For God. Are we trying to fulfill God's will, obey God, or obey ourselves? We need to think very carefully about that. Well, we're in the Old Testament. Let's turn over a few verses here to Ecclesiastes. So you go back about two books. from Isaiah, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. Let's look in chapter 12, verse 13, because it tells about this. It says in the King James, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If we look over the New American Standard, it says the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. I like that wording. Does it apply to me? It applies to every person. So yes, it applies to me. Does it apply to everybody in this audience? Yes. What do we need to do? He's telling the nation of Israel at this point in time, but he also, by extension, and we can read that this applies to us, the whole duty of man is to fear God and do what? Keep his commandments. In other words, serve and obey him in what he says. I've got an article that will be coming out in the Family Forum Sunday. You can read it. But the point being is how these two relate. Is how does one become a Christian? If we look at the denominational world, they talk all about people being Christians. They only want to go a quarter of the way, halfway, a third of the way, two-thirds of the way. They don't want to do everything that God said. If we don't do everything God said, what does this scripture tell us? What is the whole duty of man? To fear God and keep his commandments. What did Christ say in John 14, 15? If you love me, what will you do? Keep 10%, 20%, 50% of his commandments? No, as it said, keep my commandments. Keep them all. Not half of them, not part of them. We need to keep them all. We're to serve God, the whole duty of man. We have no choice. Mankind has to deal with God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll read verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13 here. And the New American Standard says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What does mankind have to do? Who do we have to do with? We have to do with God, and all things are laid bare in front of his sight. We can decide several things. And we can decide that we're going to ignore God, or we can decide that we're going to obey God. It's not a halfway deal. It's not a partway deal. God says that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, if we go back to what he wrote in John, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, we refer to the church as the people. We don't refer to the building ever as anything but a building. When I became a member of the church, I'd come from the Baptist group, the Baptist denomination. They called the people the church, and they would try to correct it every once in a while, but they typically called the buildings a church. I learned that Christians, everywhere I went at that point in time, people referred to the church building and made that distinction, never referred to the church as referring to the building. Yet I hear that today going on. Why? If God is the judge over all the earth, which he is, read Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. It tells us that God is the judge over all the earth. If God is the judge over all the earth, we need to be very careful and make sure that everything we do in religion, everything we do to serve God, is purely what he talks about, not what we talk about. In other words, it's purely to obey God. If we love him, we'll serve him from our uttermost being. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look there. Notice what it has to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll read verse 10 here. Notice what verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It says the same in both the King James and New American Standard. I don't know what the new King James reads. I can look it up here. But it says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If we're going to appear before Christ, before God, how are we going to answer for all our behaviors? In particular, for these behaviors that were not in obedience to God's will. Are we going to serve him, love him? And are we going to, as he judges us, takes a look at our life, is that life going to be one of obedience or one of rebellion? It says, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, whether according to what he has done, whether good or bad. In other words, we'll receive judgment based on our behavior, not what we want to do. As I've mentioned before and said, we have a great ability to deceive ourselves. We want to convince ourselves how loving and faithful we are to God and yet not serve him. I've seen lots of people tell me, or heard lots of people tell me, well, God knows my heart. God knows I love him. Oh, really? Are you doing what he said? Because if the answer is no, yes, God does know what they have to say. God knows whether they love him. And they're screaming at him that they don't love God, because they're not willing to do what he has to say. If we look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, it says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In other words, God is going to judge us regardless of what we've done in this life, regardless of our title in this life. He's going to judge us without respect to persons. In other words, God wants us to serve him, but he will judge us based on his word. He will judge us based on his teachings. He will judge us based on our behaviors. And the question is, will we love God or do we love God? Are we serving God or not? Are we serving mankind? Some important questions we need to ask. Do I feel obligated towards God and the Bible, or do I feel bound by what it says? Because we should. Or do I look upon it as if it's serious, but not too serious? And the question we need to ask each of us, may I be reminded of God's seriousness in the matter? In other words, are we willing to recognize how important this is, that we put God first and our hearts and minds be totally committed to serving God and none other? Are we looking to serve God? Are we looking to be obedient to God? I've got several sets of notes here that I'm taking some comments from. But we need to understand what we need to do. I'll give you an illustration that came up that I've read before. Let me read this one here. The captain on the bridge of a large naval vessel saw a light ahead on a collision course, and he signaled, alter your course 10 degrees south. The reply came back, alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain signaled, he got upset and signaled, alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain. And the reply came back, alter your course 10 degrees north. I'm a seaman third class. So you have a seaman third class here telling a captain what the captain's to do. The story goes on further. As the furious captain signaled, alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm a battleship. The reply came back, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. Are we like this captain? The refusing to alter our course to obey God? Because what's going to happen if that captain continues in the course he is and continues with his indignancy, his authority, his false authority? He's going to crash on the rocks. And the question we have that we need to think, are we in the aim to crash on the rocks, or are we following God? Are we willing to serve God? Acts 10:36, notice what that says. Let me read here. Acts 10, verse 36. It reads, the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The King James says, the word of God was sent to us through Jesus Christ. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. This is the word that's sent to us, each and every one of us. It is sent to Israel, and it's sent to mankind today. We have the New Testament. They've got God's lesson through the Old Testament. They were to follow that way. In my daily Bible reading, I've been reading several verses. In fact, what I read today was the end of the book of Exodus, around the end. In fact, it was. If we turn over to Exodus, chapter 39, we can read in 37, 38, 39, very detailed instructions of how Moses was to build the tabernacle. He was also to build or put together, have made the garments for Aaron and for his sons. He was told exactly what to do. He was told how to build this tabernacle. He was told what metals to use, what places. If we go through there and look, we can see that in verse 39 is talking about how the garments for Aaron are to be made. Look over in verse 8 of that. It says, he made the breastplate, the work of a skillful workman, like the workmanship of the ephod, of gold, blue, silver, and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. What if in this he substituted silver for the gold? Save some money. Silver is actually a little more durable metal than gold. It's not quite as heavy. You can bend it a little more. It won't break quite as easy. When he got done, he told God, could he tell God that I have completely and accurately built and followed your directions? In this case also, the boards that are to be assembled, each have a tendon. They have a little piece coming off them. And there's sockets that he was supposed to make out of silver to do that. Now, some things he made out of bronze for that. What if he decided to make the sockets for the tendons out of bronze instead of silver? They'd be more durable. They wouldn't be more heavy. But in the end, could he say he exactly followed God's will? Because God told him to follow and do exactly what I said. Build it in this manner. He specified the metals in various places. No, he couldn't. He couldn't say that. He said, well, I kind of followed your directions, but I basically would have to say he substituted where he saw fit. That would not be following God's will. And if God said, follow exactly what I said, what would happen? He did not follow God's will, and he would be judged for that. What happened to Nadab and Abihu? We look over in Leviticus chapter 10. God had just got through instructing them all to serve God and how to serve God, how to obey God. Yet Nadab and Abihu, they were trying to worship God, but they did it in a way that was not acceptable to God. They offered him smoke, incense from the smoke, in a way that God had not commanded. And what did God do to them? In other words, they were trying to worship God. They could claim they were sincere in trying to worship God, but they didn't do what God instructed them to do. And God did what? He took every one of their lives, both of them. They forfeited their lives because they did not follow God's will. Likewise, if I talk about Moses, if he had built that tabernacle and not, or the garments of Aaron, and had substituted in various places one material for another, what would have happened? God would have judged him. God would have judged him very harshly because he did not follow the directions of God. How can we today say that we're following God's will and not follow what God said? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. I'd like us to think about a few things here. I'm going to go and read in verse 24, and we can start there, read 24 through 26. And it says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Again, this is from the New American Standard. Not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Okay, people want to apply this to the first day of the week and only the first day of the week. But what does that say? Not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some is, or as is the habit of some. In other words, Wednesday night, let's look around us. We have assembling together. What did it say we had Sunday? Well, Sunday before that, we had 68 and 54. We've had 80 on several Sundays. I guarantee you, we barely have our faithful 50 here tonight. What about those other people that are not here? Can they truly say they followed the commandments of God? If you love me, keep my commandments. Yet they're forsaking. It tells us not to forsake, but they're forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What's happening? If you ask each and every one, well, I was here on Sunday. I only have to be there on Sunday. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Now, we talk about the fact that in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we see the church coming together to worship God. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 talking about making sure that we contribute to the work of God on the first day of the week. But where does it say that we have to be to worship on Sunday, on the first day of the week? I submit to this scripture says it there, but it says it in a way that says if the church is coming together on Sunday night, if the church is coming together on Wednesday night, if the church is coming together at any time, we need to not forsake that assembling of ourselves together. If we're going to say that we're truly obeying God's commandments, are we doing what we're able to do, and are we serving God in the way we should? We need to think about that. Think very carefully. Because what should we be doing as individuals? We should be encouraging each and every one of ourselves to be there, to be at the next time. Because again, notice what it says in verse 26. If we don't follow verse 25, verse 26 then applies, because it says, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, what it's telling us is that not by forsaking and assembling ourselves together, if we forsake that assembling, as the habit of some is, then we get in verse 26, it says, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, it tells us that we're sinning. We need to be here when the church is called together. Notice, turn over, we read this scripture quite frequently, but we don't think about it and what it means. Turn over into 2 Timothy chapter 3. We read verses 16 and 17 all the time, but let's read it again and think about how that applies to us. All scripture, not some, but all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. What are we going to do? Are we going to follow God's word? Or are we going to follow what man wants to follow? Are we going to serve God or not? John 17, 17, in the King James says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. God has given us his word. He's told us what he wants us to do. He wants us to be obedient to him, to serve him, to love him, to obey him. And yet, we want to go our own way so frequently. John 17, notice what God teaches there. John 17, verses 7 and 8. It says, now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. In other words, Christ is telling us that he gave us God's, the Father's words. And says, they have received them, have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. In other words, what Christ is telling us is that he gave us God's word. He was sent to us by God, the Father. We need to serve him. We need to obey him. And we need to read and study and grow in his word. We need to love him in all that we do. I'd like to think of something else too, from another lesson. And let us think about the fact that we need to be very careful. One of the toughest verses that I find, and one of the most scary verses I find in the New Testament, is Revelation 2:10, where he's telling Christians that they're about to suffer. They're about to suffer persecution horribly. But notice what it says at the conclusion of that verse. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. In other words, faithfulness is not something for today, just today, I should say. It's not just something for just tomorrow. It's something that we go on for the rest of our life. Christianity is a tough, tough thing to obey and follow because it goes on forever and ever in our lives on this earth. We need to realize that we have got to keep this faith up because the devil is always pulling at us, tweaking us, telling us, you've worked hard enough. You need to put your feet back and rest. Quit. You don't have to do that today. It's all right if you do this. You can sing with a music, an instrument. You can sing music with an instrument. It's all right. Everybody else does it. What do you want? Satan is at us every day of our lives, nipping at our heels, trying to get us to compromise God's instruction. We need to think very carefully about that. Complacency becomes self-satisfaction accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers. We should not have unawareness of actual dangers in our lives, dangers of not following God, because we've been taught those. We have the Bible. Are we growing in God? I find it interesting. One of the things is we refer to the first day of the week as the Lord's Day. We get that from Revelation, in the first chapter. And yet, how many of us go home and cook a dinner? How many of us go home and watch a football game on TV? How many of us are studying the Bible? I personally question whether that phrase was referring to the first day of the week. If you look at the Lord's Day, or the day of the Lord is really a judgment day. And I think that's a reference to John having been brought forward in time to the judgment day, or seeing judgment day on earth. But we talk about that. If it is a reference to the first day of the week, do we treat the first day of the week like it's the Lord's day, or it's our day to relax and kick back? I made it Sunday morning. That's all I need to. I don't need to go Sunday night. I can sit back and watch. I'm going to go watch the Cowboys play or whatever NFL team. Or I'll watch the Spurs play. Or will I read and study God's word and put it the first day of the week as being truly being the Lord's day? Have we become complacent? Unfortunately, we find that in this country, we have become complacent in many ways. And we as Christians did that. Jeremiah 6:14 says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In other words, the people were willing to compromise and say, we're going to be all right. As has been pointed out, they stood there and look at the temple and say, is it not the temple? We got the temple right here. It doesn't matter what we do. We can lie, cheat, and steal. It's all right, because we got the temple. We got God's word. God looks out for us. As Christians, what are we doing? Are we becoming the same way? Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 10 says, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. What is fixing a wall with untempered mortar going to do? If we use untempered mortar, it's going to come apart. Next rain, anytime you need any structural strength, that mortar is going to crumble and fall apart. Why? Because they were saying peace when there was no peace. We need, as Christians, need to be thankful. Thankful people, I should say. We need to be thinking about whether there's peace or whether we should be following God. Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. In other words, we read the first few chapters of Amos. Amos is a prophet of the Old Testament. He said he was not a trained prophet, if we read the first part of Amos, but yet he talks about various things. In fact, if we read in that book, I think it's chapter 7, he calls the women the kine of Bashan, in other words, cows of Bashan, because they were acting that way. But notice what he says. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named the chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. In other words, those that were trusting in, see, isn't that the temple there? We've got the word of God. I was baptized. I don't sing on Sunday with an instrument. I'm following God's word. Yet the rest of the week, we don't even think of God or we study God's word. Psalm 28, verse 3. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Are we paying attention to the lesson when it comes Sunday? Or were we paying attention to the lesson tonight? Are we focusing on what God wants us to do, or are we thinking of what we want to do? Where are we? Where's our thoughts? Where's our love for God? I hope this lesson will help us to think more carefully about what we do each day. I know that preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, they're the crowd that shows up at anything. It's not like some of the folks that need to hear it, but we all need to hear this. We need to make sure that what we're doing is following God's word, God's authority, and not ours. We need to make sure that we're not self-justifying ourselves, if you please. We're not allowing ourselves to compromise God's word when we need to be following him. We need to very carefully look at ourselves and say, did we substitute silver for gold in that thread? Or are we doing what God wants us to do? Let's close with a word of prayer tonight. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the time to gather together. We pray that we can always grow by studying thy word. We can serve thee. We can love thee. That our obedience to thee will be fully and complete. That we'll commit our whole lives and souls to thee and obey thee in all that we do. Bless our efforts. Forgive us our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.